Okay, great. I'm Amy. I'm a compulsive overeater and a food addict.
Hi.
And I came into OA in 1988, which is a goodly number of years ago now. And I have been imperfectly abstinent since then. Sometimes more perfect-er than others. But I have never eaten bags of, you know, thrown myself into the winds. Often at this point, you know, I say that I've never said to the, you know, okay, I'll just throw myself head in. But given that I'm on tape, I think I'll manage not to cuss at this particular moment. So a lot of what has kept me coming back and being accountable is that I'm not in it just for myself. And thank God for the craziness that was part of program in California in the late 80s, where I believe I was 21 days abstinent when they said, you can be a sponsor now. And, you know, I have people, I say to people all the time as they take their year chip, you're not raising your hand to be a sponsor. What's the deal? Oh, I'm not ready. Yeah. Ready for what? You know, if you think you're going to have all the answers, you're never going to be ready. That's how that works. So I was told, and at that point I was just following instructions because I had come in the year before and not done much of, you know, just kind of perused the thing. And I came back in and I said, I'm going to prove this doesn't work. I'm going to do everything they tell me to do. And then when it doesn't work, I can leave with a clean conscience and not have to think, oh, maybe that would have worked if I just... Well, here I am, close to 30 years later, and I've never found a reason to walk out the door because, actually, the more I put into it, the better the sucker works. I am not rewarded for specific actions. I am rewarded for effort. It's just how it works. When I, you know, I have five children. They're 9 years from eldest to youngest. You count them, you do the math, and you see they're, I had them pretty darn close together, and no twins or triplets. You know, there was a time when getting to a meeting every 10 days, even two a month, was practically superhuman. You know, nowadays, if I'm going to two a month, I really have to check what's going on, because that's not the same amount of effort by a long shot. But, you know, in the early days, I immediately, being a bit of an overdoer, I got 3-4 sponsees in the morning, 3-4 sponsees in the evening. And they called me and they said, I'm going to eat blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, unless I heard something weird, you know, looking for that odd ice cream or, you know, whatever it was that, you know, if they'd told me 3 days before that they weren't going to be eating wheat and I was suddenly hearing something, I would say, does that have wheat in it? You know, but that was about the full, you know, and sometimes they would tell me some emotional thing that happened. I'd go, okay. And that was about the full extent. That was all I had to give. It was all I had. But there were times where I wanted to eat. And I would think, if I eat, I have to tell those 6 people tomorrow that I did that. And, you know, one of the things I've learned about character defects is that when they are used to one's own good or to other people's goods, they become assets. I have a lot of pride. I don't want to walk in here or tell people on the telephone that I'm not doing well. I don't want to do that. And when I, you know, hunker my little heels down and do the okay thing, at least, if not an actual good thing, rather than, you know, self-destruct, and the next morning I don't have to, well, that ends up being, you know, positive action after positive action, which turns into some kind of integrity. You know, I actually am doing what I say I'm doing. Shocker. And so that's just one of those things. And I remember one time early on, my husband's in program and he's got a few years in program ahead of me. I was, you know, sponsoring all these people and they were all binging. Or at least that's how it felt to me. And I wailed, you know, beep, 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 beep. I'm a terrible sponsor. He's like, are you abstinent? I'm like, yeah. He's like, then you're a great sponsor. You know, and so it's not about fixing the other people. And I still have to remember that. I've got some people, you know, who I sponsor now. And I never know quite how many I'm sponsoring, to be honest, because there are two people who call me every day. Technically, one of them, she and I co-sponsor one another. But I've got two people who call me every day. I've got another two or three who call me a couple of times a week. I've got a couple more who really only deal with me email and text. And I've got other people who I think they think I'm their sponsor, but I haven't heard from in months, if not years. And when it comes time for them to get their act together, I may get that call that goes, oh, can I start calling you again? So, I don't know. And that has worked for me. It's one of the tools I work better than most. I have a sponsor. I've had the same sponsor now for over 20 years. She no longer lives in this area. She lives in Chicago. But she used to live in Reston, so we really didn't overlap all that much anyway. You know, telephone is telephone. And I'll say something about the process of getting a sponsor, because I moved here from California after a couple years in program and, you know, had to find a new sponsor, because back in those days, it wasn't quite the same. There is something very valuable to having somebody who's going to be in the same rooms as you are, even though I have to say that hasn't really been my experience for my own being sponsored recently. But particularly early on, you walk into a meeting and you walk in like this. Even if, you know, your food's fine, if they see you all hunched over and looking kind of puny, they have an opportunity to say, you, all does not look well with you. And that's just good information. But I, when I went to get my current sponsor, she wasn't available. So I kept calling her occasionally. And then at some point I said to her, well, can I call you? I can't remember if it was once a week or twice a week regularly. And I'll keep, you know, and so I had two sponsors for a while. And during that period of time, I knew that, you know, the one I have now, if I called her and I said, you know, I'm fighting with my husband, I'm not getting along with such and such, da 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 da, she would say, how can you be of love and service? And the other one would say, aw, that's worth a poor, poor baby. Now, she would be being a little sarcastic and meant I was supposed to buck up too. But this one was harder to hear, you know, and put the mirror up a little stronger. And so I would really have to be watchful of myself, that I wasn't trying to take the easier, softer way in terms of which one I was talking to. But when my current sponsor retired from work, you know, she said, okay, I'm retiring. And I'm like, now you can be my real, you know, my real sponsor all the time. And she was like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. So there's something to be said for persistence. If there's somebody that you particularly like and you get along with them and they work a program that you admire and they have the right kind of tone for you, you know, start calling them. Just, you know, at worst, you'll end up with a program friend. And, you know, and I've had people turn into sponsees who were persistent. I do not sponsor in the same way that I did when I first started, where I took, you know, X number of phone calls in the morning and X number at night, and if, you know, I was supposed to talk to someone at 7, I was there at 7, and, you know, get off, you know, and the next one would call it, you know, I mean, I had people clockwork. And nowadays people know I'm really only available for calls, with the exception of those two women. I'm only available for calls a couple of times a week. It's hard for me to promise when I'm going to be. I've got kids who I'm responsible for their schedules, and, you know, and plus my own schedule changes from day to day. And I, you know, I am not as reliable. So I haven't taken on a newcomer in several years because I just don't feel like it would be fair to them. But I also encourage persistence and taking care of themselves in my own sponsees. You know, I tell them, I will never hurt you intentionally, but I will fail you. Every human being will fail you. That's the way it works. So if you're looking for me to be your higher power, to be the be-all and end-all, I can promise you in advance that I'm not capable of that. I never was, but I think I had a wider view of, like, I will be able to be there. But, you know, I have to choose now between my kids and my family and some other things that I have to do and that. So in terms of, I've come to the end of what my time, and I just think that in terms of sponsorship, start sooner than later. I don't care if it's a month of abstinence or 3 months of abstinence, but I don't see any reason to wait a year. I really don't. And I think it keeps you going. You don't have to give. You can't give anybody more than what you have. And when you don't know something, you say, I don't know. Let me make a few phone calls or ask at my meeting, and I'll get back to you. You do the same, and we can confer. You know, and but don't hesitate to sponsor, because it will keep you going in ways. I mean, there's a part in the big book where it says nothing will work for you like working with others. And that has been my experience, and I'm grateful for it, and thank you very much.
Thank you.